All right, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 through 5. And Paul writing says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We'd ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes and understanding to your message this morning. And Lord, our prayer, our desire is that the Lord Jesus would be lifted up, and Father, that your will would be accomplished in each of our hearts and lives this day. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We read through that passage, those last couple of verses there. Paul highlights for us the, as it were, the concept of the church. He says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, so we have one body, but we have many members, many different parts that make up our body, and all members have not the same office, and so a hand and various members of the body. And then he says in verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And so I'm not going to dwell on it this morning, but the importance of being part of the local church, being a part of the body. All members don't have the same abilities, don't have the same office, as he says in verse 4, but everyone is to contribute to the life of the local church. But that's not what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. I want us to think just for a moment or two. I want to just put an example up for you to think about it, and then we'll try and look at some principles in the scriptures. But I want you to think with me. Here's a Christian who comes along and says, well, you know, just having some struggles at the moment, and things are difficult, and he's having all these wrong thoughts, and it's just really hard. You know, a couple of months ago things were going really good, but now I'm even doubting my salvation. Just really, you know, really struggling, really difficult. Now, what questions would you ask them, or what counsel or advice would you give them? You don't have to put your hand up and come forward or anything, but just think about it. What would you say to that person? How would you, if you had the responsibility, how would you be an encouragement or a help to them, do you think? What would you suggest to them? Okay, they've been just rejoicing in the Lord. Things have been going well, and then a couple of months back, that all stops, as it were, and things begin to go downhill, even to the point where, well, we're just not even sure we're saved anymore. What would you say to them? How do you think you would help them? Would you be able to help them? Or is that, oh, it's a bit hard for me, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. We're all supposed to be members one of another and encouraging one another and be a blessing and a help to one another. And if you don't know, you say, I don't know exactly the answer. You must have some answers from your own walk with the Lord. Surely, how does God help you? At least share that with the person. You say, well, I'm having struggles myself. Okay, you're in a bit of trouble, but you know what I'm saying? What would we say to that person? How could we be a help to that person? How could we be a blessing to that person? Because that's not unusual. The details may be a little different to each situation, but it's not unusual to find Christians who are struggling. They are battling the flesh. They are feeling down. They're struggling with their thought life. They even wonder whether they're saved and all those kind of things. It's not that unusual. Now, I think sometimes we get the idea that that's the normal Christian life. It's the way it is. You just struggle and keep falling over and hopefully get up every now and then. But that's not supposed to be the normal Christian life. That is really biblically the abnormal Christian life. The Christian life is to be one of victory in the Lord Jesus. The Christian life is to be one of victory over sin. The Christian life is to be one where God is glorified in our lives. The Christian life is to be one where we're able to help others who are struggling. Now, as he says here in Romans 12, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we're not saying, you know, I've arrived. I can help anybody now. I know what the Bible says about these things. Let me tell you, just bring them on. I would suggest you'll be absolutely no help whatsoever, other than maybe the grace of God might use you momentarily. We don't arrive, but we should know what it is to walk victoriously in Christ. Amen. And not just for a day. You know, we've all probably been there. We know the situation. We have a meeting and we say, all right, you need to surrender your life to God and you need to live for God from now on, and the Spirit of God convicts you and you go, yeah, I haven't been what I should have been, and yeah, I haven't been quite the Christian I should have been. And so the invitation goes out and okay, now all those who's God spoken to this morning, as we sing the hymn, come forward and maybe recommit your life to God and surrender it to the Lord and confess your sin and oh yes. And so people come and some weep and all that sort of stuff. All sincere, all genuine. But within 24 hours or 36 hours or 72 hours, they're back in the same old hole that they were before they walked forward and said, God, please forgive me and please help me. And for some people, that becomes just repetitious. Now, we don't always have an invitation here to come forward. But at every message is an invitation to do what God's spoken to you about. Amen. Don't have to come forward. But it's a concern, especially as a pastor looking on and seeing Christians struggling and struggling and struggling, and yet the Bible has the answer. Now, we know the Christian life's a struggle, in the sense it's a battle. The Bible's very clear about that. As we said many times, it's not a playground, it's a battleground. And the more serious you get for God, sometimes the more intense the opposition is at times. It's not all day, every day. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to live victoriously in Christ. The devil doesn't want you to be rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The devil wants you to be defeated. He wants you to get depressed. He wants you to get down. He wants you to become useless as a testimony for the grace of God to other people. He doesn't want you witnessing to someone and saying, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am. You know, we did some door knocking yesterday and we met a man yesterday and we were able to talk with him about the Lord and tell him about, you know, the need of salvation. But if you're not right with God, you're not going to tell people about salvation. You're not even right yourself. You don't feel like you can talk to anybody. You'd like to, but you just don't feel like you can do it because you're not where you ought to be yourself. And that's a concern. So I trust this morning in some way we can be an encouragement or a help as we look at this passage. And there's two aspects here that we want to kind of develop a little bit in these opening two verses. Now these are, for many of us, very familiar verses. But I want us to have a look at and think about it. The first point about it is this. In verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we present our bodies to God. That's the first thing. Number two, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means not only do you have to present your body, but you have to change your thinking. Okay? Because if you come forward this morning, let's say you have an invitation, you come forward and God's convicted you about something and you know you shouldn't be doing it or should be doing something, whatever it is, and God's spoken to you and you've been feeling defeated anyway, and you just feel encouraged, yes, this morning I'm going to come forward and I'm going to just present myself to God afresh. I've done it before, but I'm going to do it again, and I'm just going to, Lord, please help me from now on. But if your thinking doesn't change, 24 hours later, guess what you'll be doing? And you were sincere, you meant it, you hate what's happening, you hate the feeling of being defeated, you hate the depression or the grief that comes to your heart sometimes, you hate it, it doesn't feel good, but you're still thinking the same as what you did before you came forward, after you came forward. I like what Boyce said about worldly thinking. This is just a couple of thoughts about it. He says, this is how the world will think. I matter most, and the world exists to serve me. Whatever satisfies me is what is important. That's the world. We're the center of everything that's out there in the world. Everything revolves around me. I'm the center. Here's another thought from the world. If I earn enough money, I'll be happy. I need money to provide security for me and my family. Financial security will protect me from hardship. Not so, but that's what the world says. If you got enough money, you'll be right. No, you'll be wrong if you're relying on your money. But the world says, no, that's what you need. I've been there, done it, let me tell you. Or this sort of, anything is acceptable as long as it doesn't hurt another person. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it's my life, I can do what I like. That's foolish, because our life always affects someone else. Always. And depending on what it is, as to how many people it affects. Then you have this, success is the path to fame, wealth, pleasure and power. Look out for number one. Success, power, wealth, all that. That's the world's thinking. That's the world's thinking. And we are constantly being bombarded with that type of thinking. All right, we'll deal with this a little bit more as we go on. He says, how about the Christian way? From the world's perspective, the Christian way does not look attractive or even right. It says such things as, God is in control of all things and has a purpose for everything that happens. Totally opposite to the world, isn't it? The world doesn't even acknowledge God. Or man exists to what? Glorify God. That's the Christian thinking, the Bible teaching. But that's not the world. Totally opposite. Or Christian thinking, money cannot shield us against heartbreak, failure, sin, disease, or disaster. The wealthiest man who's ever lived on planet Earth is dead today. His wealth didn't help him in the finish. I mean, he might have had fun for a while, but that's not going to do it. Success in God's kingdom means humility and service to others. In the world, it's all about me and what I can get. And so it's very, very different. And so these two aspects, again, we want to just develop it a little bit. I believe these are two of the key issues here. Presenting our bodies and right thinking. Now you can present your body, but if you're not thinking right, you're still going to be defeated. But if you've got right thinking, then you will present your bodies. You see, you can do the body bit without the thinking right, but you can't think right without presenting your body. So you can see what I'm getting at here. So let's break this up a little bit and see what Paul says. I beseech you therefore, brethren. I beseech you. The idea is, he says, I beg of you, please. Please, I beseech you, therefore, because of what I've said, brethren. And notice he's talking here to believers. All right? He's talking to people who have trusted Christ as their Saviour. And if that's not you this morning, then you probably won't get too much of an idea what I'm talking about. Because this is written to believers. And these are spiritual truths that only a believer fully understands. But if you're not saved today, if you're not one of the brethren, then you could be before today's over. You see, the gospel is a simple message. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. And if we put our faith and trust in what he's done for us on the cross, believing that he did it for us, repenting and turning to God, asking God for forgiveness, then he forgives us and we become one of the brethren. And so Paul writes to the brethren, by the mercies of God, there's an invitation here. This is an opportunity, he says, that God has given. This is God as being merciful. God's not rewarding you with what you deserve. He's being merciful and saying, listen, here's what I want you to do. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. To place our bodies before God, or to put at God's disposal our bodies. And as we read down in that other verse, the body's made up of different members. And so when I come, and I think sometimes we need to understand this, when I present my body to God as a living sacrifice, not as an Old Testament sacrifice where I'm slain and I'm burnt and become ashes. Now spiritually that's what I ought to be when I present my body to the Lord. But when I present my body to the Lord, that I'm presenting all of me. All right? All of me. That's why we talk about the members of the body. When I present my body, I maybe don't think about it in these terms, but I'm, for example, presenting my eyes to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, these are your eyes. So that means I can only watch now what God wants me to watch or look at, because they're not my eyes. Okay? So I'm presenting my body, my eyes, my ears, my hands. I remember reading about a story. This man was traveling on a train, and there was, I think it was three other guys in the carriage there, and they wanted to have a game of cards. And they said, look, we need another member. And this other man was a Christian. He said, we need these three guys. Look, we need someone to make up a foursome so we can have this game of cards. And he said, sorry, I can't play. And I said, no, you can play with us. You know, if you don't know, we'll tell you how to play. He said, I can't play. And they said, why can't you play? He said, these aren't my hands. And they looked at him, thought he was quite crazy. He said, what? They're not. No, they belong to God. I've presented them to God. And gambling is not something that I should do as a Christian, and so I'm not going to do it, because these aren't my hands anymore. These are God's hands. I've presented them to him. You see what it was trying to get across here this morning? It's one thing to present your bodies, but it's another thing to present your members. Sometimes I don't think we quite understand that. We come forward, Lord, I present myself to you. That's all very good. But we don't see it in its literalness. That means I've got to present my eyes. I've got to present my hands. That means I present my feet, so that where I take the rest of my body is important now, because it's to be where God wants me to go, not where I want to go. And so I present my hands, so I don't do the things with my hands that I maybe would do if I had my will and way. And so I think sometimes that's a problem. So a person comes forward and they present their body, but what they've neglected to do, or haven't realized, they haven't yet presented, for example, their hands to God. Well, I presented my body. Have you presented your hands? Well, of course I have. So why are you doing that? If you've presented your hands, what does Paul say? This is your reasonable service. Christ died on the cross for you. his hands were pierced and his blood was shed so that you might have salvation, you might have forgiveness, you might have eternal life. He gave his hands for you. You're to give your hands now to him for him to use your hands as he would use them. Amen? So we come forward and we present our bodies, but we've still got our hands in our pockets, as it were. Oh. How do you turn on some terrible movie, for example? Now, you might be different and get down with your mouth and push the on button with your tongue or something. But usually you use your hand, don't you, to turn it on. But if that hand belongs to the Lord, you've presented it to him, then what are you doing turning on that X-rated movie or that pornographic site or whatever it is? Well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. You've presented your hands to God. And if you present your hands to God, they don't belong to you. So you better be obedient to what he tells you to do. And so we could look at various things. So our tongues, you know, when I present myself to God, I present my body, that little flappy bit in there is part of what I've presented to him. And so now I better be careful what that little flappy bit flaps about, amen? The way I speak, the way I talk, that has to be in a way that is what? Pleasing to the Lord. Because it's not my tongue. I've presented that to God. And so my tongue belongs to God. I've presented it to him. It's a living sacrifice. It's no longer my will, but Lord, thy will to be done. Because my tongue is your tongue now. My hands are your hands. My eyes are your eyes. My ears are your ears. My feet are your feet, Lord. Okay? Now, when we do that, then Paul says, then you will do what? Well, he says, first of all, it's your reasonable service. This is reasonable after what the Lord Jesus has done for you. It's reasonable that you now present yourself, your body, your members back to him as a living sacrifice. But again, we can do that even, but if the second part of this passage we're looking at, the second verse isn't in place, then that's still not going to work properly. So what do you mean? We still have to change our thinking. We could come this morning, Lord, I present my eyes, ears, hands, feet, my brain, my head, everything. Lord, I present it all to you. You say, that's what you told us to do. Correct. But now, there's something else that has to take place. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be molded by this world. But what? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. If you come and present your body and all the members to the Lord this morning, but if you don't do something then about renewing your mind, you will continue to fall and fail, and you'll get even more frustrated because you did what you thought you had to do. You said, God, your hands are now mine, my eyes are yours, etc., etc. And then we keep falling. And here's one of the major problems. Our thinking isn't right. Because when our bodies are presented, our thinking's right, he said, then you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then you will. But until you've presented your bodies, and until you start to change your thinking, you're still going to be defeated. You're still going to be discouraged. And you're still going to want to give up and all that sort of thing. The thinking is so important. Now you think about it. Go back to the illustration that I started with, the question I started with. The person comes along and says, look, you know, up till 2 months ago, things were going fine, and you know, I was just praising the Lord, and but you know, little bit by little bit, and you know, before long I was struggling, and oh, and now I don't even know whether I'm saved. Oh my. So question, what are you doing different now that you weren't doing before? What have you stopped or started doing 2 months ago? Well, I haven't read my Bible for the last 2 months. Oh, you haven't read your Bible for the last 2 months. Don't need to go any further, really. But what I have been doing is watching this movie series. Oh. Yeah, we don't know what it's all about, but what's it about? Oh, well, it's, you can imagine what it's like. So why is that person now all discouraged and defeated? Because they're not thinking right. Why? They've stopped taking in the Word of God. They're no longer thinking biblically. They're thinking worldly. Why are they thinking worldly? Because the input is only of the world. And what you put in is what you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You feed on the rubbish of this world, you're going to think in a worldly way. And you can present your body as a living sacrifice till the cows come home and still be defeated and discouraged because you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You imagine, you watch, I don't know what this thing was, let's say an hour a day. Hour a day, 5 days a week, we've watched this wonderful movie of all the sex and all the wickedness that's involved in it. And how many times we read the Bible that week? Not once. So we would expect that person to be very victorious, wouldn't we, in their walk with the Lord? I don't think so. But if they're saved, yeah, if they're saved, that's right, they're saved. You can't lose your salvation. God gives unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. But if they're not doing what is needful to change their thinking, they will continue to be defeated, depressed, give up, think they're not saved, and all the other things that go with that. So what's the answer? There's the answer. Faith, and so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to think right, you have to think biblically. And to think biblically, you have to be in the Bible regularly, feeding on it. Amen? You have to feed on the Word of God. If you don't, you are feeding on the things of the world, and what you eat is what you are, basically. But I presented my bodies and I'm not getting any victory. Why not? How much Bible intake do you have? Oh, well, you know, I'm in church Sunday mornings. Great. What about the rest of the week? The rest of the week we're spiritually eating Big Macs. Instead of feeding on the Word of God. Well, I'm too busy. That's why you're defeated. You're not giving God the opportunity to renew your mind through His Word. And so you're going to think the wrong way. And guess what happens when you think the wrong way? You act the wrong way. And guess what? You feel bad. Because you know, this is not how I should be living. What can I do? And then we'll have some sin that we don't seem to get victory over. We'll say, God, please take it away. Please take it away. Please take it away. We must develop a song. And God doesn't take it away. We go, see, God's not fair. God doesn't answer prayer. God's already given us his word. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't do this or do that. And change your thinking and you'll be fine. You'll have victory. Because you'll be walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, I hope I'm coming across today in a way that makes it, I'm not trying to be foolish, but to make it very simple. The Christian life, in essence, is simple, but we complicate it. Yeah, but what about this? And what about that? No, what does God say? He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your mind is renewed. And then what happens? You find out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's his good and acceptable perfect will? It's to be victorious in the Lord Jesus. You read on back a couple of chapters. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Don't blame God. Don't blame someone else. Blame yourself for not following the principles of the scriptures. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means your hands. That means your feet. So, Lord, I present my body, and I know that means every member. Now, look, and add this to it. Lord, if any of my members right now are not doing what they ought to do or are doing what they oughtn't do, please show me. If my hands are not truly yielded to you, if my eyes, ears, etc. are not truly yielded, Lord, please show me that. I want you to do that. And now, Lord, I determine to read your word daily. I was reading about this man the other day. It was an interesting book about purity of life or something, I think it was called, I forget now, Pure Living. And this man said, I was challenged one time as a young believer at a meeting, and this preacher got up and shared, and he said, I want to tell you something about reading through the Bible. He said, I read through the Bible 7 times a year. 7 times a year. It's about 30 chapters a day. He said, I was pretty challenged about that. 7 times a year. Whoa. I've heard people do more than that, but 7 times a year. And he said, he's done it for years. Now, guess what? That man doesn't have the struggles that most people have. He has the temptations, but he doesn't have the defeats that many Christians have. Why? Because he thinks biblically. The temptation comes and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Or whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying today, well, you know, you better read the Bible 7 times a year. But I would suggest this. You ought to at least aim at trying reading it through once a year. It's not that tricky. 3 to 4 chapters a day. It's not a whole lot. It doesn't take long to read 3 or 4 chapters. Yeah, but I'm too busy. Probably. All the best. You'll be defeated. You'll get depressed. You want to give up. You all those things will happen. And then you say, well, God's not answering my prayer. He's already answered it. He's already shown you. Just present your body. But I want to know what is God's perfect will. Well, present your body and get your thinking straight. And then you'll know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's simple. Now, the outworking of that, yes, it can be challenging. Because the flesh says, no way. Not 100%, yes. Or the world says, that's too fanatical. That's far too fanatical. You know what, if you do that, you know, nobody will be able to relate to you, and you'll be just out on an island by yourself, and it'll be shocking. You can't do that. And the devil says, you what? Do you really believe that stuff? Do you think that would really work? Come on. And so, yeah, the tests are there, the temptations, the struggles are there. But if we do what God says, remember, God didn't say he would do this for us. Christ has died on the cross. in Christ we are more than conquerors. You read Romans chapter 6, who being dead, etc., 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 we are now dead to sin and alive to God through the Lord Jesus. All that, I am crucified with Christ, Paul says, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and so forth. God's already done his part, now he wants us to do our part. Don't pray, Lord, please take it away. Just present your body and your members and then get in the Word and renew your mind and you'll find, wow, this is amazing. This Christian life actually not too bad after all. But until you do, you can look forward to struggles, you can look forward to defeats, you can look forward to feeling miserable, maybe little flashes occasionally, but generally you'll just feel like this is all too hard. This is all too tricky. So this morning I want to just in closing encourage you. First of all, are you one of the brethren? Are you saved? If you're not saved, then you need to talk to someone this morning and find out how you can be saved through trusting Christ as your Saviour. But as God's people, let's this morning say, okay, God, I present my body a living sacrifice, and if there's any member that's not presented, then please show me. And then, Lord, help me to be disciplined so that I will have biblical thinking from now on. Lord, help me to be disciplined about being in your word, renewing my mind, so that when the temptations and the tests and the trials come, I will be more than conquerors through him that loved me. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you and we bless you for this time once again. We're thankful, Father, for thy word is truth. And Lord, we're not talking about formulas or anything else for success as the world does. We're talking principles of your word, that which you've laid down for us. Lord, you've already provided the way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, not just for salvation, but for the Christian life. For in Christ we are more than conquerors. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to think on these matters. Lord, maybe there's someone this morning here who's not saved, and they would perhaps feel in their heart, in their thoughts, oh my, maybe I need to do something about this salvation business. Lord, if there's someone like that, I pray you'd have mercy on them and help them to perhaps talk to someone before they leave to find out a little more about how to be saved. And then for God's people, maybe, Lord, there's some this morning you've spoken to about a particular issue in their life that they need to deal with. Lord, help us to see that by your grace we can and are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Lord, these two primary principles of presenting our bodies, all the members, and then daily renewing our minds through the scriptures, whereby we will indeed be more than conquerors. So we just thank you for our time now, and we ask your blessing in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.